kind, eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we've placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them, and bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning we are starting a new series titled The Blessed Life, and we will be looking at an obscure individual from the scriptures who is found in one place and one place only, and that is in the fourth chapter of the book of 1 Chronicles. His name is Jabez. His name means pain, and it's interestingly enough that this individual, in the midst of the genealogies, if you look at the book of 1 Chronicles, the first four chapters, you will find so-and-so beget so-and-so, and so-and-so beget so-and-so, and it's like, oh my goodness. And then all of a sudden, there's as if there's this pause. And this pause happens, and we are introduced to Jabez. We're introduced to his prayer. And we are introduced to the proclamation that God heard his prayer. And then never again will we ever hear from him in all of the books of the Bible. This morning, I want to share with you the word blessed. It means to be highly favored by God. It means to have divine favor. And that's exactly what Jabez meant when he prayed. He said, "Oh Lord, bless me." Now, if you're like me, for years I struggled with praying that type of prayer. I often felt like I shouldn't go to God and ask him for stuff. I shouldn't ask for more money in the bank account or a newer car or a better house. And that is true. But that's where our common conception of being blessed, it deviates from Jabez's prayer. You see, friends, if we are going to be blessed, we must allow God to determine what our blessings are. I'll say that again. If we are going to pray this prayer, we must allow God to determine what our blessings are. You see, years ago, I felt like God, and this is a true story, and Kathy, she would attest to it. I felt like God told me to propose to this young lady. Interestingly enough, we never even went out on a date. Now, you're either going to think that I'm really stupid. I'm serious. This is a true story. You're either going to think that I'm really stupid, or you're going to think that I have this incredible faith that it doesn't matter if I believe God says do it, then I'm going to do it. And maybe there's a little bit of both in me, a little stupidity and a little bit of faith. So I go through this whole wrestling with God. And he leads me to buy this ring, and he confirms it over and over and over and over. And I go and I propose to this young lady. And she looks at me and she says, "God told me he was going to bring me a man. But I thought it was to help me with Bible study." Ouch. Ouch. Needless to say, she refused. And so I was left wrestling with God. "But God, you told me. But God, where's my blessing?" Because there's that one little verse in the scripture that says, "He who finds a wife finds favor with God." And at that time, I was selling everything. I was moving into full-time ministry. And I'm like, "Lord, where is my blessing?" As I said, you're going to either think that I'm really stupid or that I've got a lot of faith. And I'll say maybe it's both. So in my struggle with God, he leads me to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. And I'm going to read this, and if you're familiar with the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we call it the Hall of Faith. It's all those individuals that forsook this world to serve God. And then in verse 39, it says, "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised." I read that after God put 39 and 40 on my heart in my prayer time, and I'm like, "Lord, that's not helping, Jesus. That's not helping at all. You know, it's not helping a little bit at all. And then I get to 40, and he says, God had planned something better. Okay. I can hang my hat on that. God had planned something better. You see, we can rewind back to a week ago, the tomb being emptied, the women going to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. The tomb's empty, and they run to find the disciples who are where. They're in the upper room huddled out of fear, and they are hiding because in their mind, the blessing that God was about to bestow upon them, the liberation of the Roman oppression, the earthly kingdom, it all came to naught. And friends, God never told me that this young woman would say yes. He simply put my hand to a task. And little did I know, until September 3rd of 2016, did I know what that better thing was. Little did I know who she was. Little did I know what she would look like. But what we do is we go to God with a superimposed end upon our prayers, and we believe that God's going to answer them in a certain way. And friends, if we are going to pray the prayer of Jabez, oh Lord, oh God, bless me indeed, we must allow God to determine what our blessings are. We are not to determine or tell God what's best for us. One of the hardest things that I've ever had to learn over the years is that lesson right there. I have a friend who is a youth pastor in Minnesota, and he told me that, you know, his wife's church, the elder board, her dad got sick. And the elder board felt like God was going to heal her dad. So they go public with it, and he passed away. We superimpose how God's blessings are going to look. We must, friends, if we are going to pray this prayer of Jabez, we must allow God to determine what our blessings are. In a few moments, we're going to meet around God's table, the table of communion. And I'm here to tell you, aren't you? I know I am. I am super glad. I am so blessed that God had something better for us. What would it have looked like if Jesus set up his earthly kingdom some 2,000 years ago? What would it look like for you and for me? It would have looked like eternal damnation for our souls. It would have looked like, you know, the broken relationship with a holy God. It would have looked like a mess. It would have looked like something that would not have been better for you and for me. And I'm here to tell you, I am so thankful we learn that lesson, and it's a difficult lesson to learn because we go to God and we believe and we hang our hat on these things. Trust me, I was all in. You don't go and propose to a woman not being all in. I was all in. As I mentioned, you'll either think that I'm really stupid or I have crazy faith. And I'll say it again. It might be a little bit of both. The second thing that I have learned in praying this prayer, the prayer of Jabez, is that we must commit our ways to God. You see, sometimes when we pray this prayer, oh God, bless me indeed. This is a line that I want to be in. I'm here to tell you. I want God's blessing. I want his best for my life. I want his best for all of you. Now, I want to tell you that I was in my mid-20s when that situation took place. Mid-20s. Now, when I was 46, that's when I married for the first time. You do the math. Sometimes God's blessings, it takes him time to work in our heart, and sometimes we need to show him that we are committed to his ways. It's not a passive thing. It's an active thing. During those times, there were women that I dated for multiple years. I was looking. I had it in my heart to be married. You look at all the individuals of the scripture, and you look at what God gave to them. You look at Abram, exalted father, becoming Abraham, father of many nations. You do the math. He had to wait till he was 100 to receive the promised son. Look at Moses, 40 years in the wilderness. Look at Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness before his ministry took place. You look at the Apostle Paul, 3.5 years in the desert of Arabia. You look at all the people in the scripture, and there is that period of time where they have to show that I am committed to your ways, O God. Now, I could have done what other people do. I had my chances to get married. Honestly. Do I want God's blessing? Do I want what is best for me, even when I don't know what's best for me? I'm going to tell you, Kathy and I, we talk all the time. Marriage is hard. It's straight up hard. You throw in the mix, adding a second church and buying a house and buying a car and selling a house and moving 3 times all within the first 2 years. It's hard. We talk all the time. We can't even fathom what it would be like with somebody else. And here's the reason why, friends. Because she and I are what's best for each other. I had to wait 20 years. That's not easy. But it's what you want. If you want to pray this prayer, I invite you to pray this prayer with me over the next several months, because, friends, I'm here to tell you, I don't believe that God gives us these prayers in the scripture just for us to read and say, huh, that's nice. I believe he gives us these scriptures for you and I to pray them, to earnestly seek his face, to earnestly petition him for his blessing. Now, this is a far cry from the health, wealth, prosperity gospel individual, the preachers that say, you ask God and here's your prayer cloth and he'll grant it to you. No, it's not that at all. It's saying, oh God, I am allowing you to write the script for my life. I am allowing you to determine what my blessings are, what they look like, how they shape up. And in that, I am going to commit my way to you, oh Lord. No matter how hard it is. Let's see, Jabez, he doesn't stop there. He has this little word at the end. And it's, oh Lord, bless me. Bless me indeed. Indeed. In our culture, in the texting world, the 140 characters world, in our culture, you know what that would be? That would be all capitals and boldface and underlined 5 times with about 17 exclamation points at the end of it. It's an emphatic. It's Jabez saying, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. You see, many times in the Christian community, in the Christian culture, you know what happens with Christians? It happens with all of us. We stop before God can bless us. We stop before we receive the blessing. Jesus told a parable about the widow petitioning an unjust judge and going to him and going to him until he wore him out, or she wore him out. And he says, and so you do the same. You see, I'm here to tell you, God wants to bless you. He wants to bless me. He wants to bless you. The issue that we all have in our lives is that we write what our blessings should look like. And then oftentimes we fail to commit our ways to God's ways. And then we stop far before it's time. If you truly want something, I don't have kids, but I'm going to tell you from my niece and nephew, I'll tell you, when they wanted something from me, oh my goodness. Yanking on my shirt, pulling on my pant leg, come on, can you? How about a dollar? How about 50 cents for the gumball machine? Can you? And we as Christians, we go to God 1 time and we stop. We stop. I'm going to tell you, this is the most difficult lesson I think I've learned in my life. I'm not standing before you as one that says it's easy. It's the hardest thing that you or I will do. It is. It's difficult. It's not easy. But the question remains, do we believe that God has something better for us? And we're going to meet around the Lord's table. And if we truly believe that God has something better for us, then I invite you to come and not just take a little nibble, not just take a dash of the presence of the risen Christ. You see, sometimes when we meet around the Lord's table in Holy Communion, we just take it and zip and it's gone. No, stop it. Stop that. Persevere. Wrestle with God. Jacob wrestled with God. God changed his name to Israel, and he was forever changed. You check me on this. Every individual that ever met the living Lord, they were physically changed. They were mentally changed. They were emotionally changed. Jacob walked with a limp. Sometimes when we wrestle with God and we don't quit, we don't stop, sometimes we too, and all the time, will be changed. And sometimes it's that change that God wants to do in us so that he can more fully use us. That's a horrible, hard message. But I've learned it to be true in my life. I have learned it to be true, and it has yet to fail me or fall down in my life. It doesn't. Because these are God's ways, friends. So we invite you to come up and be a part of communion today. And you will come down the center aisle, and we have an open communion. So if you're not a member, please come. Please come. You will take a piece of bread, and you will dip it in the juice. And then you will depart on the sides and go back to your seat. My challenge to you and to me today is to allow God to determine what our blessings are, and to always commit our ways to God's ways, and lastly, to persevere until God blesses us his way. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're before you, Lord, broken, humbled, that you would even want to bless us. We thank you, Jesus, that you have given and had something and have something better for us, even than what we can even see here. Lord, I thank you that something better isn't just in eternity, it's here, it's now, it's in this life. And so, Father, as we work through this prayer, I pray, Lord, that we would give you the free rein to bless us as you see fit. That we would continually commit our ways to you actively. And that ultimately we wouldn't stop beating down the doors of heaven until you have poured out your blessing. Father, I pray you would meet with us all around this table of communion with you. We thank you, O Lord, for the bread, and we thank you for the cup. We pray, O Father, that you would bless the bread, you would bless the cup. We pray, Jesus, that this would not just be a momentary thing for us, but that it would carry on throughout the rest of our daily life. So, Father God, meet with us now, we ask. Meet with us now, we pray. We commit this time into your care. In the blessed name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. As we close this time of worship here this morning, if there's anyone here who needs to be prayed over or anointed with oil, we invite you to come forward as we sing this last song. If you would please stand and join with us as we sing, Hallelujah, Your Love is Amazing. Now as we depart, may the God of all grace, may he bless you and keep you, and may you receive the blessings from his hand. And may you persevere until you receive them by seeking his face, chasing after him. And may you experience the love and the peace and the joy that only comes from the risen Christ. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart in peace.